CozyOnline.com. Go visit CozyOnline.com. It's easy to remember if you just sing along. CozyOnline.com. Go visit CozyOnline.com. The chosen one. Yes, he is the chosen one. He's got his own comic, and now he's got his own song. 'Cause he's the chosen one. Yes, he is the chosen one. Go buy a copy at chosenone.com. Chosenone.com. Go visit chosenone.com. It's easy to remember if you just sing along. Chosenone.com. Go visit chosenone.com.
Hello and welcome to the Juan on One podcast. If you're enjoying the show, consider signing up for the Patreon. There you get ad-free content, early access, exclusive episodes, and monthly supporter hangouts. You can find it at patreon.com/thejuanonjuanpodcast. If you don't like the subscription-based models, there are other ways of supporting the show that are linked in the description. Thank you for tuning in and enjoy this episode.
They said it was forbidden. They said it was dangerous. They were right. Introducing the paranoid American homunculus owner's manual. Dive into the arcane, into the hidden corners of the occult. This isn't just a comic. It's a hidden tome of supernatural power. All original artwork illustrating the groundbreaking research of Juan Ayala, one of the only living homunculologists of our time. Learn how to summon your own homunculus, an enigma wrapped in the fabric of reality itself, their power at your fingertips, their existence your secret. Explore the mysteries of the Aristotelian, the spiritual, the Paracelsian, the Crowleyan homunculus, ancient knowledge lost to time, now unearthed in this forbidden tale. This comic book holds truths not meant for the light of day, knowledge that was buried, feared, and shunned. Are you ready to uncover the hidden, the paranoid American homunculus owner's manual, not for the faint of heart? Available now from Paranoid American. Get your copy at tjojp.com or paranoidamerican.com today.
Welcome to the Juan on Juan podcast with your host, Juan Ayala.
Well, today, El General Aparicio Marina, who was also a candidate for Miami mayor, held a long-awaited news conference. Pam Salisbury was there, and Pam, what have you learned?
Robin, this is the day Aparicio Marina promised to explain everything, and he left the news media still hungry for answers at his news conference this morning. First of all, Mr. Marina has jumped out of the mayor's race. He intends to devote time to clearing up the academy's name. As to charges of sexual abuses of cadets by cadets, Mr. Marina says it's all just a pack of lies.
This never happened. None of the abuse ever happened.
In my younger phase, never before.
None of the young board never happened.
Never before. And this time, they have allegations. And allegations is one thing, and the proof is another thing.
I asked Mr. Marina why he allowed a convicted murderer to be enrolled in the academy with youngsters here, and he said that may have been a mistake. He said he defended Clarence Carr. That's the youngster who was enrolled here under another name. He said the youngster was not a cold-blooded murderer and that he really believed he could be rehabilitated here at the academy. Robin.
Pam, what about the girl who turned up 7 months pregnant? Now, her parents contend that she was in a dorm at the school.
Robin, Mr. Marina, as with all other allegations, is denying that the girl became pregnant on the academy campus. He said he had an occasion to speak with the teenager and that she was involved in sexual activity outside the campus. Mr. Marina says that is a problem that you could find on any school campus. We'll have complete details on this story for you at Miami Marine Academy at 6 on News 4.
Welcome back to another episode of the Juan on Juan podcast. Mute your mic, Tom. Come on, dude.
Yes.
Is this your first podcast?
Okay, I know. I saw my camera glitch for a second. I was like, okay, what's going on? It's good now. All right.
First ever podcast. This dude is...
All right, I'm muting, okay?
Welcome back. I'm not cutting that out, dude. It's too much editing. Welcome back. We're going to be covering a very interesting story today. Make sure to follow the show on social media at the Juan on Juan podcast.
tjojp.com, patreon.com/thejuanonjuanpodcast for those that want more of the show. And call me, 407-476-4606. I want to hear from you. Leave me a message. It's a three-minute time limit. Please don't go on for more than 3 minutes. And also don't send me like three voicemails of 3 minutes each, which people have done too. Okay, so right now I have like 16 or 17 messages I have to go through and do an episode on. So keep calling in. Keep the stories flowing. Remember, there's a three-minute time limit, 407-476-4606. And yeah, call in if you've ever heard about this story that we're going to be discussing today with the one, the only, the man, the myth, the legend, Tom Cat from Strange Brew Podcast, who's, we're no strangers. We've been in this game for quite a long time. What's up, dude?
What's going on, man? Yes, I am back in the house. The Raptilian, they call me. I got my They Live shirt on because I think it's appropriate for the topic.
Nice. Yeah, dude. So can you tell people where they can find you first before you start diving into it? You talk a lot about true crime. You do a lot of murder, mystery type of stuff, paranormal talks. Where can people find you?
So you can find it at Strange Brew Podcast on all podcast platforms, on Rumble, on YouTube. We really push people towards the YouTube because we do a lot of video content, but we talk about everything from like deep conspiracy rabbit holes to, you know, true crime, serial killers. That's definitely our jam. But we cover all sorts of strange things. You can follow us on Instagram at Strange Brew Podcast. On X, I'm trying to be on there a bit. That's Strange Brew Cast. I don't understand X that much. People just yell at each other, but I'm trying to do it. So yeah, I'd appreciate if everyone goes, follow me. If you want to see more stuff, Patreon and Strange Brew Podcast. Everything should be Strange Brew Podcast essentially. So
awesome.
Go find it.
And dude, I forgot what I was doing when I found this story and I'd never heard of it. It was very interesting. And I listened to a couple podcasts that were on it. Pretty terrible. They, you know, whatever. And there was the one documentary that we saw. But what really set me off was the Jeff Mache article that he did for Medium.com called Hysteria High, How Demons Destroyed a Florida School. Now, the subtitle is A True Story of Witchcraft, Possession, and Murder. Now, I hadn't heard about this ever, and it doesn't seem like it's a very broadly covered thing or widely covered story, because it is from the 1970s, and it is during the Satanic Panic, right, where you're familiar with the Satanic Panic.
Oh, yeah. Don't listen to rock music. It's going to turn your kids into Satanists, and they're going to sacrifice children in the forest.
Yeah. Yeah,
I've never heard of this, and I'm super surprised because of how much we cover the paranormal, weird stuff on my show. I'm actually surprised I'd never heard of this.
Well, so I forgot how I came across it. I think I was doing some research. I don't know. I might have been doing some research on something occult, and then it popped up. The Devil's Academy, which was the documentary that we watched. The Devil's Academy.
Yeah, it's like a William Shatner. He's not in it, but it definitely sounds like he should be.
It's from Shock Docs, The Devil's Academy from 2023, I believe. You can watch it on Prime, I guess. And
oh, weird. I didn't know that. I would have brought it up on there.
You can watch it on Prime. And we're going to be talking about the Miami Aerospace Academy incident. Now, I looked up I'm trying to find the original address of this place, and I'm here.
There you go.
I'm on Pinterest, but I pulled up this address, 901 Southwest 1st Street. And
have you been there?
This is Little Havana. I've probably been near here. I haven't been to the actual place, but what I want to do is if we can find the original building, I'd like to call in and ask him if they have any poltergeist activity or anything. That'd be a great idea. I'd call in on air, but I'm not finding. See, this is 931.
Oh, weird.
And this over here is 905.
I'm curious too, because like I don't know. It seems like if this is actually a real story, like energy is like it stays in places, like 100%, residual bro. Energy.
100%. So when I look up 901 First Street,
just call that whole plaza. Be like, let me talk to everyone in the plaza.
Yeah, no, I probably should, right? Be like, hey, you think I'm a reporter, I'm a journalist, and I'm calling in to see if you've had any poltergeist activity. But if anyone knows anybody in this area, this is Little Havana. I've been near here. So the Bayside Miami Monsters. So this is where allegedly the Aerospace Academy is. Yeah. Miami Monsters were right over here.
Wow, weird. Right here,
Bayside Marketplace. That's
not that far, dude.
Hey, dude. And then here's the Miami Circle, an old site. And then Brickell, there's another one around here somewhere where they found a burial site from 7,000 years ago from the Tequestas.
Wow, do you think it's like a triangle? You know, not a triangle, but specifically like an imprint of all these different places in like a vortex.
100%, bro.
You know, it could be kind of possible because we did what's the Florida Triangle one?
Bermuda.
Is that what it is? Covered that long time ago.
The Bermuda Triangle. So we got Miami, Bermuda, Puerto Rico, and then back here. So, bro, it's absolutely part of it, and that's why they're finding bodies. They're finding bodies in these old burial sites, and guess what, bro? They're building right on top of them. They pull them out. They clean up as much as they can. They're just like, oh, we're going to build right on top. So think about Miami. So Miami, and the thing about Miami is you have Miami, and then 50 miles, or not, maybe not 50, but 20 or 30 miles north, you still got Miami. So Miami's pretty big. Miami can be considered, you know, you got Miami Gardens, which is North Miami.
Every time I hear Miami, I think of that Scientologist song, Welcome to Miami.
Yeah, they have Scientology there. Miami is like from right here. All the Coral Gables would still be kind of Sweetwater, still Miami. Kendall is still Miami.
Indigenous burial grounds, man. For some reason, that is hot spots for like paranormal activity. And I wonder if it's some of the maybe like rituals that the indigenous did for burials. And if somehow it like resonates with the area. It's like it's always burial. We know this about Pet Cemetery and stuff.
Yeah, and not only that, dude, but the swamp. This is all swamp right here. This is the Everglades.
That's where they dump a lot of bodies. That's what we talked about the Everglades way back. All the mystery surrounding that, because there's like people just dump bodies there and stuff, right? And there's maybe skunk ape and all that fun jazz.
And the squallies, bro, the Florida pig people. Oh, but yeah. Not only that, but
people seem to really like that episode. I don't know why.
But the life that is embedded in the lime rock and in the stone, the coquina stone as well, in the actual state. So underneath our feet right now, there is essentially some form of either dead life or life that was alive at one point in time. So it's and then if you look at Florida, it's just one huge dick. You know, it's just the phallus of the United States. You know what I'm saying? So and we know that the magicians and the occultists love their dicks, right? I mean, that's what 100%. They're all about.
That's why there's obelisks everywhere.
So we're going to be talking about this Hysteria High incident. Now, what interested me about it was that, according to that cheesy documentary that we watched for this, it was really bad, bro. It's like...
My wife was like, when is this over? And I was like, I got to watch it all, okay?
Wait, your wife watched it with you?
Yeah, she was like, "What is this some William..." She similarly said, "Is this William Shatner's show?" And I was like, no.
So it was like they're practicing Santeria, magic, and the occult. I'm like, that's all part of the occult, bro. Like, they were trying to, like, really...
One encompassing thing.
Yeah. Exactly. They were trying to really blow it up. So there's a few things leading up to it that I want to talk about. And of course, all my highlights didn't transfer over, so I'm going to have to read some of these highlights that I have. But again, if you want to learn about this, Devil's Academy, the documentary on Amazon Prime, and Hysteria High, the article by Jeff Mache, which really, really interesting article. So it all started with a riot that had broken out at this academy. Now there's events leading up to that riot, which we'll get to, and that's what we can break down. But the founder of this school has a connection with your boy over in Canada, bro, Trudeau. He was competing against Fidel Castro at one point in Cuba. He was his political adversary. Yeah, bro. And we know the conspiracy that Castro could be... Are you allowed to say that right now, dude?
Oh, yeah. I have a song. I wrote it out called Trudeau. It's harsh. I go really deep on making fun of that guy. But, like, for sure. And there's, like, I don't know. There's connections to all sorts of weird stuff with that family. Do you know who Robert Picton is? This is something I can't wait to dive into. Robert Picton was a serial killer in Vancouver. And he, like, specifically got rid of prostitutes, right? There's connections to the Trudeau family. And the RCMP is trying to, like, burn the evidence and, like, essentially get rid of it and seeing if they can legally do this to get rid of a bunch of evidence, because it's, I guess, Trudeau was hanging out there all the time. Nickelback played there.
Hanging out where?
At this the Picton farm where they were, this guy was.
Is that like an Epstein of Canada or something, like Epstein's Island? Kind of,
but it was like a lot of, they just killed prostitutes, but there's probably other shady stuff going on there. And people ate the meat of human meat from this farmer. Yeah. It's a crazy story. I can't wait to dive into it on the show.
Bro, and Trudeau went there.
There's a connection to him being there and hanging out there and stuff.
Bro, what in the world? It's crazy.
People
do
not want to talk. People talking about that stuff, but there is big connections. That's why once you start digging, man, you realize that all these people are like psychopathic maniacs.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. So this guy, which we'll get into, he was the political adversary of Fidel Castro shortly before Castro had taken over Cuba. And
oh, interesting, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so there's the Fidel Castro connection there. So we'll start off here. There was a riot that broke out, and according to this documentary that we watched, some researchers or scholars, I guess, consider this one of the most profound supernatural and paranormal events, you know, one of the most profound events ever in paranormal history, I guess.
If it's factual and that people actually witnessed that chick levitating that we'll get into, it's pretty crazy, actually.
Before we get into it, what'd you honestly think, without obviously spoiling somebody, what'd you think of this whole thing?
If there is as many witnesses as they claim, I think it's pretty compelling, the fact that, like, people witnessed, and we'll get into one of the craziest thing is somebody levitating. I put light as a feather, stiff as a boarding student, you know, like when you go to boarding school.
Yeah.
But like I said, like, you know, it's weird. The full on chaos, I don't know. We'll get into it, because there is, like, I can bring up a couple other links to, like, hysteria that has happened throughout history. Mm-hmm. Once it goes to one person, it goes to the other.
Which I was actually talking about that, the arch of hysteria yesterday. I brought up hysteria, where during the 19th century it was believed that women were more susceptible to hysteria and being taken over. I think
it's still happening.
Well, what if you identify as a woman? Does that still count?
You're probably still hysterical. If you're taking those hormones, you're
probably pretty so hysterical. I was today years old, and when we were doing this, so for those that don't know, we tried to record this a week ago, essentially, or over a week ago. And when I jumped on, my connection was wacky. It's fine today, but my connection was just not working. Tom could barely see me, and StreamYard was telling me that my connection was weak, which was weird, right? As soon as we start talking about demonic possession and entities and all this craziness. So we'll see what happens today. But I was today years old when I learned that Miami is called the Magic City. I had no idea that it was called the Magic City. Dude, when we jumped on the first time, I texted my wife, because she's from Miami, and I said, and both my sons were born in Miami, and I said, since when is Miami called the Magic City? And she's like, well, locals don't call it that, but they call it that because it allegedly, because it expands whatever magically or something like that. It's grown so fast, it's magic. Whoa. And I'm like, you got the Miami Mall monsters, you got all these burial sites, who knows what's under the city, right there? Who knows before all these regulations and everything came
isn't
in, bro?
Bridgewater Triangle, is that what it is? That's
up north, bro. The Bridgewater Triangle is by the Hockomock Swamp.
Okay, I was gonna say Florida has a lot of weird stuff going on.
Well, you got the Bermuda Triangle here in Florida,
which technically it technically does connect, as we saw, right? Essentially, right? You can see that it does overlap over this school. It's kind of.
Well, it touches the tip of Miami. I don't know where exactly in Miami, but I mean, there's a reason why in the 80s, a little bit before this, the Typhonian OTO considered Miami and probably still do a power zone, which they're able to tap into and have butt sex with the
Cthulhu. Didn't Jack Parsons like hanging out there and stuff?
Jack Parsons, L. Ron Hubbard at one time had stolen his girlfriend and sailed off the coast of Miami as well on his yacht. So, Miami definitely has a lot of Scarface, dude. I mean, that if that's not an egregore, Scarface, that's a whole thing. So Miami has a very rich history and, in my opinion, also occultic. Or a cult, because I know people get, stop saying occultic, it doesn't make any sense. I don't care. But as an occult history, I've covered it extensively. If you Google the occult history of Florida, your boy pops up. I've done a couple shows on that. So
that's awesome, dude.
This hysteria high, all right, started off with this riot that had various witnesses. Now, what they had witnessed here, I'm going to read what they witnessed, and apparently it happened October 25th, 1979.
Almost All Hallows Eve. Samhain.
So a riot had broken out at the Miami Aerospace Academy, a private military school in Little Havana, where screaming students were said to be possessed by spirits. Kids had smashed windows, ripped doors from their hinges, and again, they had blamed it on, this is what they say, you have various things. So you had the teacher who allegedly was teaching the students about Santeria and the occult. And then you had allegedly a group of students that the night before had done a Bloody Mary ritual to try. I never did that as a kid. Did you ever do that, bro? Did you ever do the Bloody Mary?
Yeah, we did Bloody Mary. And at first, when I was very young, we did Candyman, because when we watched the movie Candyman, we thought it was a legit thing. So we'd like scare each other trying to do that. But we definitely, I joked on the one show about it. It's on our Patreon now.
Candyman is another one? What do you do for the Candyman one?
Candyman. It's just Candyman five times, like the movie. So we're like, we watched the movie like 8. So like we started doing it in the mirror, but then we did Bloody Mary with these two twins, Basil. And we like just lit the candle. I was like 10 or something. And nothing happened, but we were spooked out. Like we were home alone and we swore we heard stuff. And I feel like I don't know, the stuff that I've seen in the mirror on mushrooms, I couldn't imagine that there could be some sort of portal. Everyone tells you not to look at yourself when you're on like doses. I always do. That's how I know how high I am. Is if my my face expands and see all these weird geometric patterns. I'm like, okay, I took a good amount. I'm good.
No, I know that I took. Well, the only time is when the toilet bowl is just changing colors, bro. It's going from like yellow to green to blue to like all these different. It's like, oh, a kaleidoscope, and then you look in the mirror, you're like, oh, hey,
dude, so, it's wild. Every different strain, I see something different. But I feel like there's a chance that the mirrors can access some other domain, because even we had a mirror in our room that faced a mirror, and then the mirror pointed out a window, and I was like this is not good. I was like, I don't know what it is, and my wife's like, what? And I was like, there's something weird about this. I don't think you're supposed to have a mirror pointing into another mirror, especially out of a window,
you know. Yeah, I'm sure that's gonna do something to the feng shui. 100% probably does something to the feng shui. So you had these kids trying to do a Bloody Mary seance, or I don't know, whatever.
The is that when before. You fuck a chick on her period?
No, that's not when you do that. Thank you for that. And they did it. And I think they said that something appeared after the fact. Anyways, they went to school the next day.
They got something appeared.
And this is when it, right? So one teenager was unconscious, others injured. Kids had smashed windows and ripped doors from their hinges. Police and firefighters who raced to the scene found hundreds of hysterical high schoolers fleeing the building as if it were ablaze. The devil, it seemed, was to blame. So the Miami News, let me pull this picture up here. The Miami News.
Ouija board, Ouija riot? That's fucking hilarious.
Ouija riots were to blame for this incident that
baffles police.
Yeah. So give me one second here.
It's people skydiving in bottom court. Halloween High. That's funny.
Allegedly, before this, the Sarasota Tribune in 1973, because The Exorcist came out in 1973, if I'm not mistaken. And in 1974, according to the Sarasota Tribune, Miami Jackson's Memorial Hospital, which I know where this is at because I recently drove past it, treated 700 demonic possessions a month. And then
700 a month.
700 a month, bro.
And I guarantee if possession isn't like a real thing, which I definitely think it is from the stuff I've researched, seen, and used the Ouija board throughout my life, I bet you like two were actually real out of like all of those. That's crazy.
Again, satanic panic right near there.
That's what I'm thinking. The 70s was a wild time, man, for serial killers, satanic panic stuff, occult stuff.
And there was another one here just before the Halloween in 1979. There was a 9-year-old girl who stood up in a nearby church and said, "I am Satan," in a voice that wasn't hers. So
I would scare the scare me, man. If I was like in church and you're just like a humble Christian or some shit like that, and then you're just like, this chick's like, "I am Satan," and you're like, "Get this out of here."
Bro, tell the truth. Would you punch that 9-year-old in the face? Like, if it's the
70s, yeah, I could get away with it. So yeah, dads were just beating their kids all the time, so I could definitely get away with it. Burn her.
Just drop kick that, just like boom. Just like, just kick her. Yeah,
she starts floating and it's like Silent Hill. You're like, no, I'm gonna leave.
Yeah, I'll fuck a kid up if you're demonic possessed. I'll like flick some holy water on them or something. But we have this riot that broke out. Now, there were people screaming that they were possessed by spirits. People were coming out saying it was the Ouija board. Now, how the story goes and how they got to where they got was, you had that seance the night before. Yeah. They go to school. This girl she feels a certain type of way in her class. She runs out of the classroom to a bathroom where she starts to, I guess, you know, she's on the ground shaking, and then that's when people see that they saw her levitate, right? And all these other people are you know, coming by, and they're starting to feel sick. So again, it starts to spread almost like some sort of virus. Now, the other aspect of it was that there was a teacher within the school who allegedly was teaching students about the occult, Santeria, how to do black magic, how to read tarot cards, and all these different things.
In that documentary, they made her a frumpy fat.
And of course, from that teacher, she was allegedly doing hypnosis, and I guess triggered this girl to become possessed. So there's a few things going on, and we'll get to why they were practicing black magic or the occult, however.
But it is interesting because say this is real, right? I always throw that out there on the show. Like, that's how we talk about stuff on Strange Brew. It's like, yeah, this could be real. And then at the end, we're like, who knows? But the idea of, right, if you're using the Ouija board and you've let something enter your body and it's lying dormant, maybe it's attached to you, like in some of the drawings that supposedly psychics do that David Icke talks about, where it looks like they're attached to your chakra and they kind of follow you around. Say you were like, had something attached to you, and then you're put into a hypnotic state where essentially you're involuntary and your body is not connecting with your mind, so someone can manipulate you. It might give access for a demon or some demonic dark entity to just like come out in the open. It's kind of interesting because I wonder if that, like, the hypnosis thing is weird.
Yeah. No, so allegedly that was what was happening, that she was doing hypnosis on the students and that it triggered something, right? Mm-hmm. And it's called by scholars as one of the most bizarre chapters in the history of American education. Now, there's been various...
Is it, though?
Is it, though? There's been various stories across history of hysteria, right? These laughing... Oh, yeah. Fits that people fall into, which I'm sure you've covered, and we, you know, there's a whole bunch of them throughout history. So shared hallucinations, I think, is probably a thing. And not only that, but maybe even sort of peer pressure. So if we look at this from a psychological perspective, you know, you can account for peer pressure, peer pressure, you can account for various things, maybe shared hallucinations, where, you know, when you automatically, when you see people running, have you ever seen these prank videos where people just start darting off out of nowhere and people freak out? It could have been that, you know, an exaggerated account, because I've been learning. I was reading this article today, this paper by this researcher that I'm going to be interviewing, and he's talking about how a lot of the things that we remember, they're actually constructs of our own brain to fit our narrative. So when you're remembering something, you actually remember a better version of what realistically happened.
Alan Watts talks about that, yeah.
No, does he really? So it's like your brain is connecting things that maybe aren't there, reaching a little bit, and that's where you could maybe get UFO experiences, abduction experiences, and all these other phenomena that we hear about.
If you have, like, you know, you say you have, like, five people looking up at the sky, and they're like, whoa, I see a dragon, and then the other five people come, and they supposedly see it, and then you're the one guy that's like, I don't see it, and then the guy's like, you don't see the dragon? And you're like, maybe I do, and then you say, and then you just go along. There's a lot of people that would do that. Even some of these, like the dancing plague of 1518 is the same kind of thing in Strasbourg. Everyone just started dancing. It started one person, and then everyone else started dancing, and it urged everyone. There's 400 citizens of the Eastern French city who were afflicted with the urge to dance until they dropped. And it's crazy because authorities blamed the trance-like state on hot blood and mandated the afflicted dance day and night to exorcise the demons, even constructing a stage and hiring dancers and musicians. They actually made the frenzy worse by, like, being like, all right, there's devils inside of these people. So you have to dance it out until you faint. And then they gave them a stage, and they're like, 400 people, man. That's a lot of people to be dancing.
Whoa.
In the first episode ever of Strange Brew, it's not even – eventually I'll be putting it on Patreon. We talked about this. It's like real weird.
Imagine having to do Dance Dance Revolution to exercise your demons.
Or
Guitar Hero, bro. What if you had to play Guitar Hero? You had to do, what's that one, Dragon in Flames or something like that?
Bill used that song for a song called White N-Word. Talk about how he's a white N-Word. It's great.
So we have the guy who opened it up. So we're going to get to all the stuff, but essentially, they see this kid, one of the, I guess, patrols of the security guards of the school, sees a kid jump from a window, fall down face first on the ground, where he believed that this dude broke all his bones. The dude gets up and, in some weird demonic possession, starts to, he said he had the strength of many men, essentially, is what he said. So we have this maybe demonically possessed boy or teen attack this police officer, and he books it. And then there's this other story of that same guy where allegedly he took the kids home, right? He took the couple home. And it was kind of weird because this dude's saying that there was these two kids that he'd seen around, but he didn't really, you know, he'd seen them around. Yeah. And they asked him if he could take them home, and because their parents weren't coming, allegedly. And so he takes them home in his Corvette, right? He's got a nice Corvette. He just got hired at the school. He's
making a ton of money. This guy lure all the children in.
He takes them home, and they said that they had nothing to do with the whole Ouija board stuff. When he gets to their home, he's there, and apparently the lights go out. And then the teens turn to him and go, hey, we actually were messing with the Ouija board. So dude freaks out. He runs out to his car. He just books it. And then when he's putting the pedal to the metal, his car is not even running. He said that he couldn't get his car to run. And then eventually it got, and he just booked it out of there. Again, we'll go through the whole story word for word. Dude, again, I don't know what's weirder, that you were taking kids to their house and you went into their house, or that your thing supernaturally freaked out. I don't know what.
You know what the best thing about high school kids is? They stay the same age.
it's like watching Twin Peaks, where you know they're grown ass people. It's like, I know, I heard you're in high school. It's like, that guy's not in high school. That's a grown ass man, dude. That guy's at least 30. So we have the founder of the school. He was born in Cuba in the 1930s, and his name was Evaristo Marina. Now, this is the guy.
Is that the colonel guy?
That's the
El guy Gerenal. That likes paddles, man.
Yeah, exactly. But you like to get that ass paddled. Yeah, exactly. So this guy was born in 1930s. He went to the University of Havana, and he clashed with a rival student named Fidel Castro. And then it says here, quote, many times Marina and Castro would have these long-winded debates about Marxism. And this is Navarini said. After Marina graduated, he caught the eye of Cuba's strongman president, Fulgencio Batista, who named Marina the general director of public order. Still in his early 20s, handsome with piercing blue eyes, Marina found himself in control of nightclubs, casinos, and police. Then disaster struck. So this guy went to school with Castro. Allegedly, they debated Marxism. He got put as general director of public order, and he believed that he was born to lead. He believed that he was born to do greater things, and he believed that. And there's videos of this dude talking. I might insert some clips. Let me write this down. I'm gonna insert some clips of this guy talking. I will pull it up here. Insert clips of Marina. Because there's videos and pictures of this guy, and he's talking about how you got to work hard, and the harder you work, the better results that you get. All these crazy, you know, like the typical American dream. If you work hard, you can achieve it, right? So,
which is a complete lie.
Well, yeah, it's the American dream because you got to be asleep to believe it.
Yeah, so, that's true.
Castro had since created a revolutionary group that had overthrown Batista's government. And Marina was part of that previous governmental body. So usually those people, not nice things happen to those people. So he said, I'm going to leave. That was 1959. And he came over here. So
I'm going to go to the closest place.
Estados Unidos. So he found work as a busboy. And then he later started working at the Biltmore Hotel. He served dinner and he worked his way up. Until one day, he eventually joined the highest position he could find was coaching soccer at Florida Air Academy in Melbourne. Because he wanted to, again, join, and he wanted to be Miami's mayor, which he did run a couple of times for and was defeated. And people said that he would run for everything. He would run for the any political seat that was open and available that he could run for, he would run for it. And obviously, he never won anything, so...
A bootlicker go-getter. Can't let him down.
A bootlicker go... Yeah, so he started... He would then go on to start a small beverage company called Iron Beer Soft Drinks. And I guess it says here, based on a popular Cuban soda of the same name.
Huh.
Well, actually, I've drank this Iron...
I think I have, too.
Let me look it up here.
Iron Brew or whatever?
Let me see here. Iron Beer Soft Drink. Let me Google this. Never mind. I don't think I've drank this.
Iron Beer.
No, I have. I have. Yes, I have. I've been to Cuban guys, and I've had this. So this is it.
Yeah, I've never seen it. I'm thinking of a Scottish drink.
So there's this Cuban sandwich place down in Miami called Cuban Guys, and I've had this there.
Is it any good?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I like it. So, cool. Nice. So we have that. He started that company, and then he joined the Civil Air Patrol, which is an auxiliary of the United States Air Force, and he ended up rising to lieutenant colonel. And in 1959, he also married a woman he met in Miami, and in 1965, they had Evaristo Jr. I wonder if he's still alive. 1965, that's not that. He's 50-something right now. Wonder if we can reach out.
Yeah, that guy's a psychopath. At least what we know. He just loved to paddle those asses.
Yeah, he loved paddling asses. So in 1968, he sold his beverage company and used the profits to open up this academy. And the way he sold it was that if you had, it's almost like a Scared Straight? Is that the name?
Yeah.
A
you will not be gay. Yeah, this is scare the
well, that's why he said that.
Straight to Bubba.
If you hired certified teachers, they'd end up being gay, homosexuals. You know, so he didn't like those gays. You know,
we know that about Canada, man. All our teachers are blue-haired freaks.
So he ended up opening this academy, and he sold it as a way of straightening out any kid. He believed that he could straighten out any kid
with a paddle.
With yeah, well. With a paddle. And so he ruled with an iron fist, and he demanded to be called El General. So, El General. So, yeah. He was LARPing, bro. Like, he was essentially LARPing. He wasn't
a real general, man.
He wasn't. But he did, I mean, Lieutenant Colonel, I don't know what that means, of the Civil Air Patrol, you know?
Do you ever have any cadet kids when you went to school?
Always the best. ROTC?
Man, we had any kid that either was cadets, there's another one that I'm thinking of too, and they were the weirdest kids. They would just not be at school for like a couple days a week. They'd come back in their uniform, and everyone, they would just get beat up, man. Nobody liked those kids.
So check this out, bro. He goes, he marketed the school to traditional Hispanic parents, and then it goes, and this is him speaking, I believe in the command authority, Marina said, with a slight lisp. I do not drink. I have never been. I'm trying to say it with a lisp. I have never drunk. I have never been drunk in my. I can't say it. In my life. I do not smoke. His only vice was hunger for power. Let me show a picture of this guy.
Hunger for power.
Evaristocat here. So I mean, the
1970s. Yeah, I only saw like the guy that they had. Huh.
So this is him. This is Marina. And I'll probably put some clips of him.
I always wonder, because, like, you know, hurt people. So I wonder if, like, he was abused when he was a kid, and then it's just like he wants to have any position of power, because we see this all the time, right? People that are like, you know, look at Pansy Boy that has running Canada. Like, he has to be in power, and he has to show his authority, because it makes him feel stronger, even though inside he's really weak and feminized, you know?
Bro, his political catchphrase was, what I say is what I do.
What I say is what I do.
All the teachers were called colonels and majors, and everyone dressed right as cadets in Air Force Blue. And here, behind the towering school gates, he marched them across the yard in camouflage fatigues and melon-sized helmets. Inside, students from kindergarten to 12th grade learned reading, enrichment, and remedial mathematics. Boys and girls were educated separately. Marina pulled out of formation any boy with hair too long for my taste. That's a quote. And sent them to the school's barbershop for a buzz cut. And
then he said, sounds a little weird.
Girls look, and then he said, this is quote, girls look good with long hair.
Well, I he's not wrong there. If you get a lesbian haircut, you wonder why people think you look like a lesbian.
Yeah, the only lesbian that I like and that I've been able to tolerate is Chaney from Project Chaney. So she's the only one I've ever been able to tolerate. And at first, it started off with a $65 a month tuition. And
I guess at the time, that'd be a little hefty.
No. It took off. Like, it ended up taking off, and he ended up having thousands of students at $6,000 a year. So it was... Eventually, it got overwhelmed with students. And there are some paying. So what's $6,000 a year? Let's do the math here. So $6,000. This dude was banking, bro.
100%.
500. So instead of 65, 500 a month. So from 65 to 500 a month.
Such a different inflation, man.
And
Babylonian money magic.
And popularity. He took kids straight from juvenile detention centers. Marina took some teens straight from juvenile detention, giving them false identities, lest any parent learn their crime. Enrollments skyrocketed as the school gained a reputation for straightening out bad teens. And then, quote, a lot of the children, they didn't have fathers, explained Roma L.
Huh.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, were they black? But I guess they were Cuban.
No, they were probably Cuban.
In the 70s, there was no black fathers around. Sorry, it's true.
So then this is when, and I try to find this. So when they became overwhelmed, he bought a 1.3-acre property opposite of Miami High School for nearly $1 million. So
mind you, this is a real swindler.
This is the 1970s, all right? $1 million in the 1970s, bro. So $1 million in 1970s worth today. That's worth $7.7 million, all right? So my boy was banking, All right, he was racking in that dough. And the new campus had a two-story classroom building, an office building, and an Olympic-sized pool. He hired a film crew to shoot a commercial that played across cinema across South America. Wow. And then wealthy families were flying their kids in, right? So this dude was banking.
Send your kids here so I can spank them with a paddle and teach them nonsense. Because what the f*** is he teaching them if he's like not actually a general? Teach your kids about the occult and how to use Ouija boards.
It's a private school, bro. You can teach them whatever curriculum. As long as you're certified by the state, you can teach them whatever. So this dude had 1,000 students at one point at $6,000 a year. He was making $6 million a year, which $6 million a year in the 1970s is $47 million in 2022. So, bro.
Oh, man. I'm going to start a school. Money.
He was, we got to start a religion, bro. That's what L. Ron Hubbard said. So
it's very true.
He was printing money, bro. Printing money with these damn kids. And the boys outnumbered at one point girls 3-1.
Do you think there was stuff going on? I know there's sexual abuse in the teachers.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure definitely from him. But I wonder how well that would go with the boys. And I bet you there's a lot of fighting. And then it's like, let boys be boys stuff. Them beating the each other on the yard.
Well,
school is a prison.
During its downfall, there was allegedly claims of boys being molested, and this was after the downfall. After the Hysteria High incident, October 25th, 1979. Now, we have this Wolf guy, which I believe is the guy who had driving the Corvette. He describes Marina as Donald Trump, thirsty for power. And Marina started channeling school profits into a run for the Miami City Commission in 1972. He was defeated. In 1973, the school filed for bankruptcy, though it would continue to operate for years. So in 1972, he tried to run for Miami City Commission, didn't make it. And
it's crazy because it seems like it does seem like he was trying to get into any position of power that he could.
Yeah.
And we know this about a lot of predators is they purposely try to insert themselves in these positions of power so they can abuse mostly, right? And use and abuse and manipulate because they have a little man complex where they like need to do this stuff because they're egomaniacs, right?
Yeah, he did try to put himself in any position of power possible. And he started to offer military science, fencing, judo. And then the girls were taught home economics in a separate building. And eventually, dude, this is where it starts to get weird. It says on this article, it is not known who Marina sold his soul in exchange for a U.S. Air Force F-84 fighter jet. But apparently he got this fighter jet in 1972, and it was a decommissioned plane that had allegedly torn a seam across the Korean skies in supersonic flight. And then it says here, Marina delivered it through Miami streets during rush hour. It destroyed several palm trees and scratched parked cars. And he put it right in front of the school. I wonder if there is.
It sounds like Beavis if Satan was like, Satan, like, what do you want? I'll take your soul. And Beavis is like, fire, jet. You know what I mean? That's so weird. He doesn't sell a soul for fame or money. He's like, I just want a jet so it can make it look like I'm actually a colonel of the Air Force. And at the end of the day, the Air Force would never give somebody a jet.
I can't find pictures of this thing, if it was true or not, that he had. I mean, there would be pictures of this thing,
that
right?
That sounds like a South Park skit, man. He's like flying in his jet and just scraping past cars and be like, I'm here. And it's like three parking. It would be way more than that, but like a whole parking lot.
I think there is a, let me see here. I think there's like a newsreel clip here.
Of his jet?
I'm going to see if it shows the jet or not. But it's like some lady talking about the incident that happened after. He's talking in it and everything. Yeah, I'll post this after the fact.
You think his jet's named after his paddle? His paddle's named like Shirley? Don't let me get Shirley out.
He has this F-84 fighter jet, which let me see what that looks like. Again, I can't find a picture of it in front of the school, but an F-84 fighter jet is this. So.
Oh, that, yeah, that's, yeah, definitely old school, like World War II. Yeah. Huh.
And kind of the, a
cool jet, but it's not that big either.
No,
the window, that shit?
The windows are blacked out, apparently. And then there was rumors that at one point there was starting to say rumors that the pilot of that plane had burned inside and had died inside that plane. Whoa. And there was other rumors that it was never really a fighter jet. It was just, you know, a prop. And he was using it as a thing to attract more people to come to the school. And along with those rumors of his airplane not being, his fighter jet not being real, there was rumors that he was a Santero. And a Santero is, again, like a, no disrespect to anybody, but like a witch doctor. You know, they believe in money magic, blood magic, sacrifices. There was burned pennies being found around the school grounds. Mm-hmm. And I think there was also dead birds at one point. So let me find it here.
It wouldn't surprise me that he would be into some sort of like warlock witchcraft. Like he probably considered himself a warlock. And like a lot of these, if it's like some sort of chaos magic where he's producing, doing these rituals to produce something out of it, like wanting. Yeah.
So this is him dressed in all white. And this is evidence that people use that he was a Santero, because Santeros usually they were dressed in all white.
He looks like a doctor, like a witch. Yeah, witch. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, it's
with some young boy.
It's Little Havana, yeah. And magic is prevalent. You know, black magic is prevalent in the Magic City, right? And we know that Miami is a heinous place, so there's not good things happening there sometimes. Okay, well, we have Florida men.
TV, social media, people like legitimately just get bored and they get interested and they start reading stuff. And then, you know, you have some old lady in some mystic shop and then she's like, let me show you how to do this magic. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's a lot of it spawns from too, is like, or he's a little boy. Somebody showed him this stuff in Cuba. It's not surprising considering.
So check it out. The Academy's mission is fighting immorality, communism, and homosexualism. All right. He goes, he told reporters, you bring in a teacher certified from the state of Florida and he might be a homosexual. Nothing infuriated Marina more. Usually the loudest are the gayest.
I would debate that, like, you know, when you're paddling your own students, especially the males, it seems like he had an affliction for. I would consider that a little homosexual. You know, getting up, being like a masochist, where you like watching people inflict pain on people, right? So, man, and I think that, like, I think as far as what I saw, that he was. And child abuse is going on. Well, sexual abuse of these school kids. It was a lot of the males that were having this happen to them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And
they don't protest too much.
1976, he ran again for public office. And that was the year that Fidel Castro became Cuba's president after 17 years as prime minister.
He's like, fuck, that guy fucking is a fucking president. He's like freaking out. And she's like, I can't even be the mayor.
Yeah, exactly. I can't even be the commissioner. This guy's the president now. So
should have chose communism, bud.
He put his brother, and this year he put his brother in charge of, his brother Jose, in charge of the school as he campaigned. The colonel wore a pencil mustache and aviator sunglasses, and the kids called him Pepe. So he was, and that's his brother Pepe, I guess. Yeah. But again, he was defeated, right? So 1976, and during this time, they're finding more occult stuff. So you have blackened pennies, you have dead chickens, and then something called.
What's the blackened pennies about?
I guess they burn them. They're supposed to. So I'll tell you right now.
Money magic.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now what they're supposed to. So they were finding dead chickens with the red silk ribbons around their necks, tied with three knots, which is, I guess it's a black magic thing, voodoo, whatever. And there were also, from my Cuban classmates, telling them that these were offerings to Santeria gods. And then they also said they found kilo prietos, which is blackened pennies that were left by several at the academy who practiced Santeria. He said the pennies were used to protect against el mal de ojo, so, or the evil eye. So that's what the blackened pennies were for. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're finding all these things around this ground. This dude's running for all types of political positions. He's just getting murked. And let me go on through here. Da-da-da. Really beautiful. In time, cracks begin. All right, so during this time, right, this guy is ruling with an iron fist. And he's omnipresent. Okay, yeah. He's like omnipresent. Everyone in the school believed that he had not cameras, but hearing devices in all the bathrooms and everything that, and you couldn't say anything bad about him because he was like a boogeyman. He was gonna.
He loved to hear people pee.
He loved to hear people pee, and that according to the documentary and according to the reports, that's what led the students into finding some sort of refuge in using the occult. So in using the
to be like, we're gonna use this against him because
it's sort of rebellious. Yeah, it's sort of, which if you really look at like the counter cultural movement and all these guys that really started that, that's kind of like a Crowley thing, you know, like, oh, I'm a rebel, I'm gonna rebel against the system, you know.
Yeah.
You know, my parents, they're, I'm gonna teach my, you know, Christianity.
He's talking about no homosexuality. I'm gonna this guy right in his ass. You know what I mean?
So then, that's where this omnipresent sort of thing came into.
All the kids start getting and super into
Ouija. They start boards. Using other methods of since their life was so in that academy.
Yeah,
they were using other methods as a form of escape.
Well, they said stuff about mind control too. That they were using at least mind control techniques on some of the kids, just like the basic ones of, like, you know, demoralizing them and then making them do certain things. At least what the documentary said. So who knows? But then if you're suppressed so much, eventually, and you're getting oppressed by some paddle waving maniac, eventually you're going to try to rebel against that.
Yeah. So the paddle, which was a 38-inch wooden paddle named Big Ben.
Oh, that's what I thought called it. He named it Big Ben? Wow, man.
Yeah.
He loves London. He went there once and f***ed his gay lover there.
Yeah, Big Ben, bro. So, and allegedly there is an alumni Facebook page, and they're quoting somebody here saying, those sadistic sons of drilled holes through it so the damn thing would whistle.
Whistle, yeah.
Yikes. And
so crazy. He's like rubbing it. He's like, you don't want me to pull up Big Ben, do you?
The disciplinary instructor named Major McKinley was an African-American football player, ex-NFL player. That was the guy who was, and he said he paddled boys and girls so hard that he once snapped Big Ben in half. Yikes.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I heard that. Wild. That's pretty thick wood. You have to be using that a lot.
So during this time, they're getting beat. They're being abused, essentially.
Yep.
And then it starts to, right, they start to come up with the more supernatural stuff. And check out this. This is their yearbook, bro, from 1979.
It's Whoa, astrologic. Is that legit? That is real weird.
Yeah, seniors of 1979. This is, again, it looks kind of occultic to me. You got the astrological.
It definitely looks occultic. Weird.
So this is their, because they started to use, again, they needed a form of escapism. And this is where, right, somebody's saying here, somebody learned the trick of how to make you pass out. It was some sort of breathing exercise. I remember it was a surreal awakening. It felt very weird.
Themselves to get high. I knew someone that did that, and they killed themselves. So don't do that, kids.
They recall students playing Bloody Mary. And then in October 1979, it was, again, what we had mentioned at the beginning, the yearbook that featured a 12-pointed star on the black cover. One teacher was nicknamed the Exorcist because she'll scare the out of you. Nice. And American students tried to guess who among the staff and students was involved in Santeria. Santeria was dressed in white and wore all in uniform. Can't tell the difference, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Now, we have this Josef Wolf guy. And this is the guy with the Corvette, which we'll get to the story here. And this is the Thursday afternoon of how everything went down. So we had mentioned the night before, allegedly students did this Bloody Mary ritual. The girl runs out of the classroom, and then this is where we're going to start. So it was Thursday afternoon. Biology teacher Patricia Murphy was explaining cell division when the trouble began. She later told the newspaper at 12:15 p.m. she was escorting her 10th graders to their next class when she became aware of a problem in the girl's bathroom. And, quote, they wouldn't let anyone in, unquote, she recalled. When Murphy investigated, she found a 13-year-old girl sobbing. And this is the girl that allegedly ran out of the other classroom
to the bathroom. Yeah, to the hypnotism.
She sent for a school administrator to take care of the girl and led her students to a nearby classroom. There she heard the sounds of girls crying and boys kicking from the hallway. When her 30 students heard the commotion, they bolted for the door. It was bad timing. The hallway was busy with students coming back from lunch. Panic was spreading. And this is where, allegedly, she finds a group of 4 girls, 2 boys, and a crowd gathered around them. And she goes, I don't know what caused it, she recalled. When the girl in the restroom got upset, it seemed to infect her friends. So you have this weird hysteria going on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, her own students were sobbing uncontrollably. Somewhere, a scream ran out. Murphy led her class to the second floor to escape the madness. What the devil was going on? So we have Jose Wolf outside marching a group of students across the yard when he heard the commotion. He looked up at the building and saw a teenager crash out of a second floor window and land on the roof of a school bus. The fall should have crippled the boy, but unbelievably, he rose to his feet.
He pulled a Neo, man. He like sunk into the pavement.
And then he quotes, I saw this guy on top of the bus, so I jumped off after this guy. Wolf recalled, this is not his real name.
Have you seen my Corvette? Have you seen it?
Wolf recalled, I tried to hold him back. All of a sudden, boom, he turned his head like the Exorcist. Yeah. So this dude's saying that he turned his head like all the way around and looked at him.
I will eat your heart, like Little Nicky.
So Wolf said, yeah, he recognized the student, but said he transformed into a pure evil. The boy's eyes had turned red, bloodshot, no pupils, he said. He growled like a rabid dog. Leave me alone, he barked at Wolf. Wolf's blood turned to ice. He said when the boy reached out and grabbed him, Wolf was in the shape of his life, he said, but the boy was possessed with the strength of 10 men. Somehow Wolf broke free and the kid sprinted away. More screams.
I tossed this kid because I wrote down, imagine a child tossing a grown man like that. Like, it's like, be like, you.
Where'd he go, bro? Where'd he go? Like, who was that kid? Like, can we know who he was?
The weird thing is, like, I've heard a lot of weird stuff about eyes and stuff like that, like, throughout, like, paranormal events. The pure red thing would, I would be out of there. And I did write down, I couldn't take a demon serious in that little cadet outfit.
So, Lieutenant Dan LeMay of the Miami Fire Department arrived. He saw one boy covered in blood after shattering a window to escape. Some kids said something supernatural had possessed him. He said, Miami Police Officer Harry Cannell couldn't believe the scene. The whole school went berserk. He said teachers and students were running around tearing up things. This is Frank Roll.
They're like trying to destroy the school, it seemed like. Like trying to like break down everything because, especially to the kids, it probably represented, you know, just abuse and it just like, it was like full blown, I wrote down full on high school chaos. Like mm-hmm. It's like there's a scene from Mean Girls where everyone's an animal.
Yeah, so again, we have a whole bunch of different quotes from different people who were there, firefighters, police officers, and all those people. And again, there was a teacher, there were girls screaming that there was a spirit inside the Ouija board, and she quit on the spot. And Celestia Kunin, one of the Marina's campaign workers, confessed that she'd heard the girls talking about witches. And of course, this whole time that this is going on, we have Marina, El General, talking about how it was those damn Russians. They're trying to sabotage my political career.
Why is it always Russians? It's like the scapegoat for everything, man.
Somebody
especially around this time in Miami.
He said somebody put the kids up to it. He said 1 week before the election, everyone is trying to get me. So he brushes it off. Nothing supernatural. Which, dude, I mean, that's Occam's razor. That could be true. That there was nothing supernatural. And that it was just, again, somebody trying to sniper this
or
guy.
Or it's like a weird karmatic rule in some sense, because I do truly believe that, like, if you hurt somebody else, you're only hurting yourself, because maybe we're all connected, who knows, right? But if he's doing all these, if he is doing some sort of occult, even just like black magic practices, you're going to get what you try to put out there back tenfold, supposedly.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
try to like conjure up something demonic. And these kids too, right? I'm always curious, like, where'd the Ouija board come from, right? Like,
so,
who brought in the Ouija? Do we know?
Because yeah, so this wolf guy dashed up to the classroom where he'd seen the boy leap from the window, and he quotes, "When I went back upstairs, there was two people that were playing this board," Wolf said. "They were playing Ouija board," he said. He'd never seen one before.
After the kid jumped out of the window.
"But it looked professional." And he couldn't remember the names of the... And this is when he gets asked to take these kids home. It was 3 o'clock, so Wolf agreed to take them home. And this is when he had that supernatural experience where he gets to their house and they turn to him and go, "You know what? We actually were playing the Ouija board." Okay. So he takes them to their house and they promise him they were just watching the Ouija experiment. When they arrive at the girl's house, the students didn't want to wait alone for her mother to arrive from work. So Wolf stayed. They poured him a soda and they were just chit-chatting until about 8 o'clock that night. That was when the lights suddenly went out. And when the house was pitch black, Wolf said a door slammed shut. The television flickered on and off. In the dark, the teenagers made a terrified confession, Wolf recalled. The boyfriend admitted he was doing stuff with the Ouija board. And this is when dude just fumbled out the door, went out, and then when he went to, he turned the key.
Before he left, he kissed his car.
He says, "It was like the car didn't have a transmission. I'm putting the pedal to the metal and the car wouldn't move. He was trapped." And then the car starts and he just left from there.
Mind you,
this is not the guy's real name, by the way. Okay. This is, his name's not Josef Wolf. Okay. And we have here Miami.
The devil made me do it.
School demons possess pupils. Here, the Miami from October 26th. This is the day after 1979. So people were having a ball with this thing. And mind you, when this happened, a lot of people left.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of empty seats. He was losing all these presidential races, all these political races. And
that's his own karma.
Let's see here. From... Then a few months later, a Santeria vigil just miles away from the school exploded in violence. Police found a sacrificed chicken, a voodoo cane, and 2 dead Cuban refugees. So it wasn't looking good.
At the school?
Near
the school.
Near the school.
Oh, near the school.
Yeah, yeah. So it wasn't looking good during this time. I just the satanic panic. So a lot of stuff is going on, and people took their kids out. So eventually, Marina moved the school to a motel. And
what kind of creeper is that, man?
The attendance went from 300 from 1,000 students to 300 students, and there
I thought it was gonna be like five. He's like five kids in a hotel or motel room, but like, all right, come here. I'm gonna show you my favorite thing in the
and
world.
This is when things went downhill. The conditions were despicable. It's very dirty, and they accidentally, due to a clerical error, accepted a murderer to the school.
A child,
but this was
like a child
murder. I'm gonna tell you right now. And at one point there was this, so there's this story that a little boy ran out and police found him, and he didn't want to go back because the monsters were there. And that's where you can use your imagination as to what could have been happening. And those were the allegations of sexual molestation, and things were happening in this.
Do you know how many people have been molested and then they say they got abducted by aliens?
But a lot.
It's really just molestation.
A lot. Yeah. No, a lot of people. So one night in May in 1984, a 6-year-old boy escaped from the dormitory at the academy, made a dash for the chain link fence. He had just started to climb when the alarm was raised. The police officers pulled him down. As he was carried back inside the school, he carried, "The monsters are after me." And the boy's mother claimed that the monsters were the older cadets. And again, there were victims of abuse. So it wasn't looking good. And so they accidentally accepted a guy called Clarence Carr, who was a teenage murderer, and he had snapped one night in March of 1984 after his mother had took back his father, and the 33-year-old security guard regularly abused them both, and he took the dude's gun and he killed him. And they accepted this guy at this school due to a clerical error. Okay.
Like I said, hurt people.
Yeah, so here we have this Clarence Carr guy giving his testimony.
That kid looks like a psychopath. I can just tell already. But you see this. There's a famous documentary about like kids that have been abused and end up turning like crazy. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the one chick's name, and she like in their interview, she wants to like stab her brother and stuff because she's been abused since a young age. So she thinks the only way to feel something is to inflict pain on others because she wants them to feel the way that she felt. And it's the same case with obviously this kid.
So Marina was forced to withdraw from, so let me see here. There was a murder that happened. Let me find it here. Allegedly, father, the state attorney during the court hearing, the car victim, et cetera, et cetera. So eventually it was discovered that the academy was unregulated, unlicensed, unaccredited, unsupervised, and anyone with $15 could start up a private school like it. Meanwhile, Miami police arrested Dr. Gregory Mackey, 52, a former teacher at the academy who had two arrest warrants for passing worthless checks. Sometimes the press makes problems, said Marina. They kill my political career. Please don't crucify me like they crucified Jesus Christ. So this dude's worried about his political career. At the school, Ruiz was also tired of his tormentors. He tucked his Bible inside his faded blue shirt and confronted the ringleader of the school bullies, et cetera, et cetera. And Marina was forced to withdraw from the race and become mayor in April of 1985. He pledged to devote his time to solving problems at the academy. And just weeks later, after that, a 17-year-old student told the Herald she was pregnant. Okay, so it was a 17-year-old student who became pregnant after a teenager could have forced his way into her dormitory room. Marina said the problem was finding adequate female teachers. It's not easy to find a person who does not smoke, who does not drink. Sometimes you start looking and you find women that like other women.
That's funny. 70s, everyone was smoking and drinking. But like, you know, it's going to breed these type of people, especially males. If you have a male dominated school, say whatever this was, a cult, it seems like a cult in some kind of way. And then they're inflicting pain, or at least the colonel or general is, onto the boys, most likely in a lot of cases. And then they're going to inflict pain on others and they're going to think it's okay. Right. Especially with the women. Yeah. Oh, they're weaker. They're not as strong. They don't deserve it.
Yeah. That December, so after this dude drops out of his, you know, you have the pregnant teenage 17-year-old student. That December, a 15-year-old academy student was sentenced to 3 years in prison for first-degree murder after giving a 19-year-old female student a deadly dose of cocaine. To Marina, it was all a conspiracy.
How much is that? How much? That's got to be a lot of cocaine.
I don't know, bro. It was all a conspiracy.
Weird.
On July 17, 1987, 2 days after he started his third mayoral campaign, Marina claimed he was the victim of a baseball bat attack by agents of Fidel Castro.
Oh,
this time,
God.
His election lost by a landslide.
Fidel sent his boys. They beat me. Like, that's weird, man. And this is the teacher guy, right? Like I said, the guy that ran the colonel general. I'm surprised he wasn't in jail. I'm surprised they did not jail this.
Well, yeah. So again, that's the end of the. So they were finally forced to close in August of 1988. Marina blamed the economy.
That's a long time for them to.
I wonder if this dude's still around. Let's see here. So
I don't know how he even got away with half the shit that he did without being charged criminally.
Bro, in 1988, police rescued a stolen lion from a local junkyard where it was due to be ritually sacrificed. What in the world?
What? A what?
A lion. They're going to sacrifice a lion. What in the world? 2 years later, Florida's Palm Beach became the scene of America's first ever televised exorcism. More than 29 million viewers watched a Roman Catholic priest exorcise demons from a 16-year-old Colombian girl. Wow. Okay.
Whoa, that sounds like an episode.
Yeah. Let's see here. So, like That's a cool. man possessed, Marina kept entering the mayoral race, losing for the final time in 1989. Court records show that he married and divorced four times to three different women until his death in 2009, age 79. His only political win was 1986 election as head of Miami-Dade Fire Board.
Like, I don't know. That's karma, man. Or he's just like, he doesn't have a platform to stand on, so to speak, right? Where he's like, just be like, elect me. And like, why? Be like, I'm cool, man. I call myself the general, you know? You just do it.
Golly, bro. So
like half these politicians.
That's that. That's the hysteria high.
Crazy.
Incident. The Devil's Academy. Let me know if anyone's ever heard of this. Call in 407-476-4606.
Leave a review.
Yeah, leave a comment. If you're watching this on YouTube, go follow Tom, StrangeBrewPodcast.com, right? StrangeBrewPodcast.com?
Yeah, yeah. That's where you can follow the stuff. But yeah, follow me on YouTube, Rumble. We're trying to make some traction on there. And all podcast platforms, I would appreciate it. Give me a 5-star rate and review. But yeah, we have a lot of fun stuff coming on my end. And also if you want, I run a horror podcast with my buddy in Ireland called Class Horrorcast. Make sure to check that out because we talk about all sorts of stuff and it kind of ties in to the horror aspect and then the real life stuff that on my show. Well, quotations real.
Yeah. Well, this was fun. This is a fun, quick episode.
We're yeah, a little short on myself. Time
today, so. Yeah, this is fun. Make sure to follow the show, social media, at the One on One Podcast, TJOJP.com, all that good stuff.
If your teacher has a paddle, I'd be concerned.
Stay safe, love each other.
Stay strange. See
you on the other side. Bye.